If you haven't already, grab your message notes, and we're going to get started here today, and I'm very excited about this message and this whole series because I know that God is just all up in this, and we have just been talking about over the last few weeks that how we come into a new year really wanting to make a lot of changes sometimes and resolutions, but we find out that if you do resolutions, they really don't work. Statistically, they say 80% of resolutions are already failed by mid-February, all right? And so, but the key is a lot of times we come into a new year trying to make improvements and trying to set resolutions, which resolutions, in my opinion, are just kind of whack because you can't have lasting change without God involved in the process. And so we have to understand that God is not trying to improve you. All right, and we talked about that. And God is not trying to improve you. God is trying to make you new. And that's his heart for you and for I. And so we've been understanding that in our lives, true change doesn't happen on the external side, but it's what takes place internally. That you and I, when we really do see change, it's happening from the inside out, not from the outside in. So true and lasting change is going to happen because of that moving. And so what we have to continue to grow and realize is that your spiritual life, all right, has the ability to affect every other area of your life because you are a spiritual being, all right? Look at the person next to you and say, you're a spiritual being, all right? And so we have to understand that. And we have to attend to that, our spirit, and know that. So in our first week, my goal was just to fire us up spiritually. And so we talked about how God desires to make all things new again and not trying to improve us. And then last week, really enjoyed last week because we really tried to make it extremely simplistic. And I talked about us being triune beings, that we are spirit, soul, and body. But usually, if you live this life long enough, you'll see that out of those three, there's always one competing to be in control and charge of your life. And so last week what we did is we talked and looked at the areas of our life that may be mastering us, and specifically our body, that many times, and especially when you go through a fast, you'll realize real quick how much your body wants to be in control, if you know what I'm talking about. And so, but how to allow God to help you to master those things so that your spirit will lead and lead not only the day, but leads your life in the direction that you are heading. And so I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in being mastered by my body. I want my spirit to lead me and to guide me in everything that God has. Amen, everybody? And so we looked at in that first week, new faith, last week, new fitness. And today, I want to talk on really just the topic of new friends. Because relationships are spiritual. You're going to hear that a lot today, that relationships are spiritual. Help me say that if you would. Relationships are spiritual. There you go. And so I'm going to show you something that I don't know if you have really ever seen this. And honestly, as I was going through some of these things this week, it was really just kind of revelatory in the sense that I haven't quite seen it like this. And I really was praying and believing for you that you will leave here differently in the sense of seeing relationships like you've never seen relationships before after we get into the word here today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, this has been our theme scripture for this series. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. A lot of people have an opinions of what they think a Christian is, going to church or being baptized or just trying to live a good life. But no, God gives us the definition, and it says that he becomes a brand new person on the inside and that he is not the same anymore, and that a new life has begun. That when you really step into an authentic relationship with Jesus, you aren't the same. And you don't no longer want what you want. You want to begin to crave and be hungry for what God wants to do for your life. And you desire his will, not to do your own will. Amen. And so we have been looking throughout this series on this so far, and we'll conclude this series next week. But I want to shift our focus here a little bit in Genesis. I'm going to bring you way back, all right, to Genesis chapter 1. And in the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth. He created things that had no breath. He created things like the stars, the moon, the sun, the solar system. Then he created plants, and then he created animals, and then he created human beings. He created you, all right? And let's pick it up here in verse 11. It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear, if you're following along in your notes or just want to underline this, I encourage you, land that bear fruit with seed in it. Like when God created things, like he just didn't create things to create things. All right? He put seed on the inside of the thing that he created in order for it to produce more things. And it goes on to say in the next part of this verse, according to the various kinds. Here's how cool and how awesome your God is. That God shoved into the very first tree that was ever created the ability to reproduce. And he put seed in it. And that seed is really, it helps to produce not just another tree, but it helps to produce a generation of forests, which I think is so awesome. And here's how awesome your God continues to be, that God can shove an oak tree into an acorn. In the South, they call it acorn. But your God is so awesome that he can shove a tree and a generation of it within one acorn. Think about how powerful and how creative your God is. I mean, I just think it's just amazing to see. And it goes on to say, and it was so that the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Everybody say it's all good. And so one of the awesome attributes of God is that he is omnipotent. The word omni just means all, and the word potent means potential. And here's what that says for you and me, that you got to get a hold of this, everything God created, and especially human beings like you and me, everything that he has ever created, that he has created with potential. Think about it, that your God is a God that is full of potential, and he placed potential in you and I. All right, and you may know a lot of people that are full of a lot of things, but look at the person next to you and say, but you are full of potential. Full of potential. And God's plan, and always has been, is a plan to multiply. All right, it's a plan to multiply. And in order to multiply, you have to be intimate. And so for trees, they have to cross-pollinate. For humans, they have to become intimate. And so he always intended for his living creatures, especially human beings, that wherever there would be intimacy, that there would then be production. And so I want to give you something that's not in your notes because this is powerful. And if you're following along, you can jot this down. And this, you're going to see this, and I'm going to kind of explain this as we go in this message, that everything that becomes intimate reproduces. Everything that becomes intimate reproduces. God creates humans and then Adam and Eve. And so we're going to pick up in verse 26 that says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God's saying, I'm going to put a little bit of us in them. And that's why you have a spirit which separates you and I from all other living creatures. And it goes on to say, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Important to see that. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is awesome because actually, it brought back some cool memories from when I was in college. And what's awesome is God's first words were to humanity. And so when I was in school and I was studying theology, they would call this the law of first mention. And God said essentially this, go reproduce. Go and reproduce. And just for the record, Beth and I have done our part. We're expecting our third this week. All right, glory to God. Amen. All right. But I want you to understand, because we look at this verse and we think one thing, but I'm actually going to show you something on this that you may have never seen before, because it's not literally what he meant to just have physical reproduction, and that's good and part of it, but it's not what God is his full intention. He also knew, here's the key, that there would be a transference of the spirit of who you are. And so your life, your gifts, your nature, your temperament, your attitude, who you are, that there would be a transference of everything that you are generationally. And so what's awesome is that God is so generational that he actually thinks this way. Everything God builds relationally. All right, you have to see that. It's so important, especially as you're trying to live life and do it. You cannot do it successfully without relationships. I love my wife and she loves me, but here's what we came to the knowledge and the understanding. We need friends. We need people in our life. Okay, amen, everybody? All right, it's okay to have, not your question, all right? It's okay to have friends. We need friends. We need relationships. It's part of the plan of God. And so the awesome thing is that God is, you got to see this, because God's kingdom is just massive and what he's doing in the earth today. But God is orchestrating his whole kingdom and his advancement through a series of strategic relationships and making a difference in the earth today. And so you have to understand, relationships are no accident. It's part of the design and it's part of the plan of God to reach the world. Can you say amen? And so everything God is trying to do, you have to see it this way because this is how God sees it. Everything God is wanting to do in the world today is through relationships. I believe the most important decisions that you make in your life are your relationship decisions. I believe the ones that are going to have the longest impact, we're going to look at this, lasting impact, are going to be relationships in your life. And so turn to your neighbor and tell them relationships are spiritual. Come on, tell the person who's your second choice. Don't leave them out. All right. So God is orchestrating everything relationally, and not just talking physical DNA, but spiritual DNA. And he deposited that inside of your life. And that's why you would essentially just see historically, and just a side note, that this is not happening like it should be, or I think it needs to be in our culture, but historically, you would see family lines, especially like in occupations, be passed down. You would see great-granddad begin something, then granddaddy, then daddy, then the son. You would see that passed down, and there's just not a lot of that happening today. You would see the temperaments passed down, the attitudes passed down, and here's why. God did that. God did that, and he did it especially with us as humans, with the ability to have generational transference take place in our life. And why? Why? Why would God do that? Why does God want to move in that direction and move relationally? And part of it, God set in motion that there would be a blessing on family lines to be deposited into the next generation, and that it would essentially double its impact. That's the hope. That's the hope that God has for us. And so that the kids would do it in such a strong way that transference would actually take place and happen successfully. And so I believe it's why Satan fights so hard with families. It's why Satan fights. I mean, he tries to weasel his way in to families and just relationships in general. You ever notice that the enemy always tries to attack your most important relationships? He tries to attack the relationships in your life that are really going to make the difference in the journey for you. And so he tries to weasel his way in there, and his goal is to stop generational blessing from ever happening. And so it's a risk, though. You know, because if you see this, and you probably guessed it, that not only can good transference happen, but bad transference can also happen. And that would be called generational curses that come down family lines. You know, it's like if one generation abused, there's a statistic that I saw this week that just blew my mind, that if you were abused, that the chances of the abuse going on is 97% down family lines. Which that's a crazy number. And so, but why is that? Why does transference happen? Because relationships are spiritual. Relationships are spiritual, and transference happens good and bad. And it's why God sent his son Jesus, though, to break the curse of the enemy. And we're going to look at this in just a second, how awesome Jesus is and what this means for us. But to come and break the curse of the devil once and for all. And that's what Jesus came to do, so that the process can happen again. And so Malachi chapter 2, this is a powerful verse and a really reflective verse, say it that way. And before we read this, it's interesting, and you could read this book. This is a prophetic book, and the last book in the Old Testament. But the last verses of this is really awesome, and it's really powerful. And you can go read it on your own and go see this. But God says in this that I need to break, he identifies, I need to break the curse of what's happening generationally. And he says this in the latter part of the end of Malachi. He said, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And I'm going to turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers again. And so if I could summarize Malachi maybe with a question, because that's kind of how we've been working through this series, is helping us to identify, I would probably title it this, that where are you, God? Like when you read this book, you'll see that, but then you'll begin to get some answers. And maybe you have felt that way. Ask him, man, where are you? Where are you at? Let's look at this. In verse 13, it says, and this is the second thing that you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? In other words, asking the question, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Goes on to say, because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt, notice this, treacherously. This is a call to marriages right here. And it's saying that you are treating your spouse with contempt or as disposable. Not good. And it goes on to say, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one? God is saying, first thing I told you is when that unity and those vows took place is that there would be a spiritual thing that would happen. And I would join you together and make you one, but you seem to have forgotten that. Goes on to say, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. And God is saying, I don't necessarily have an issue with marriage, but I have an issue with what's happening down the line and how it's affecting your kids. And therefore, notice this, take heed to your spirit. Let's make it personable. Everybody say, my spirit. My spirit. So everybody, you got to understand, take heed, God's saying, to what's happening in you. Take heed to your spirit and what's going on. And let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Do you realize your marriage has an impact, good or bad? Has a good or bad impact on your kids? Has a good or bad impact on friends and family and people that you come in contact with? I believe the call of God is now for marriages all over this nation to arise and to stand together, husbands and wives, and be strong again in Jesus' name. See our family strong, our kids strong in the name of the Lord. And that we refuse to give the enemy a foothold in our families. You know, I'm convinced that we're going to help marriages in this church and anybody that comes in see life breathe back into their marriage again. Right. We're going to see it. And we're going to be a help of that. And whatever we can do to help see that, we're committed to it. Because God's committed to it. And it's important to God. Whatever God values, we must value. Amen, everybody? And so I want to just say this. Don't, if you're feeling just, man, like, it's too late for me, Kyle, like, woo. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't quit on me. Hang with me. Because here's the great thing about God. Malachi was the last book written, but guess what? There's a whole nother New Testament written. And just so happens, in the next book in your Bible is Matthew, which, oh, by the way, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you've been through, doesn't matter what has happened in your life, that Jesus Christ makes all things new again. And I'm so glad he does. My marriage, my relationship, my job, it doesn't matter what it is, but he makes all things new again. So I refuse to allow anything in my past to try to control my future when God has already made the way set for me. Don't buy into the lie that's who you are. It's not who you are. God determines who you are, and let him do the defining in your life. Amen? The last thing I think is so awesome. You know, God sends his son Jesus to earth, born as a baby, born fully God, fully man, develops into a powerful, our powerful Savior that he is, and does life and ministry. Then he dies on the cross, pays the ultimate price for us. And then he raises on the third day into a glorified body. I mean, like, your God is so cool that he was walking through walls. He was on earth for around 40 days or so. But do you know one of the last things that he said as he ascended into heaven? This is powerful. He brought it back to Genesis 1. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And he's saying, I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about making disciples in the earth today. Generational transference happens through you. And God wants to use you to make that impact in the life of somebody else. Can you say amen? And so Jesus, he starts and he ends the story with relationships are spiritual. So that, guess what? That's your first note. Relationships are spiritual. All right? Boom. There you go. So, but think about it. Meditate on it for a minute. Relationships are spiritual. And don't be discouraged, because we've all have been through things within relationships, and we've had failed relationships in our life and transference. It's all good. That's why Jesus came. He came to make all things new again in our life. Guess what? Your relationships on the job, your relationships in school, your relationships, in your neighborhood, your relationships right here at church are spiritual. And you have to see this for your life. And so where there is intimacy, there is reproduction. Here's the second one. Jot this down. Is that relationships have a lasting impact. Man, it's so true. Good or bad, they have a lasting impact on your life. You know, I can think about the relationships in my life, some that have impacted me for the better, for the good, that I thank God for. And some that, man, I'm glad I distanced myself away from that and whatever was happening. Because if you get around the wrong people, a reproductive process is going to take place. And here's what I've learned and realized, that the closer I am to somebody, the greater the impact that they are going to have on my life. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Absolutely. It's not just good preaching. It's a principle to live by. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. So we have to realize relationships have a lasting impact. And here's the last one of this, is that relationship choices, they are critical. You wanna change your life, maybe lose some weight, you wanna get fit, you wanna grow in God, you wanna experience healing in your life, guess what? It's in relationships. Man, that God uses people to help bring that about in our lives. Why? Because relationships are spiritual. Come on, say it with me. Relationships are spiritual. There we go. Relationships are spiritual. So Proverbs 27:19 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And let me just say, this is a great message for our students that are here right now as well. Great message for you guys. And, you know, because I get asked from time to time on parenting, and man, I just don't claim to be the greatest parent, all right? Bethany and I aren't perfect, all right? And a lot of people just think, man, Pastor God, he don't have any problems. Trust me, I got problems. I got problems like you do, all right? We are a normal family. Trust me, my family and I are not sitting by the fire every night reading our Bibles, all right? We got stuff just like you working it out. All right, everybody say he's working it out. I'm just trying to work it out like you. I just want to be clear on that. But, you know, I want to say this. And this is what I say to parents a lot of times when I've been asked. And it's an honor for me to respond to this. Because I don't have a good answer. And kids don't come with manuals, although I think God should have gave us one. All right? But because every child is different. But here's my response to the parents is you show me their friends, and I'll show you their future. And parents, it is so important for you to be involved with your kids. I don't care how old they are. They need it. They may not want it, but one day they're going to come back and thank mama for that talk. One day they're going to thank daddy for being there. And you know what? While they're under your care, they're under your care. Doesn't matter how old they are. If they still living in your house, guess what? It's your rules. And they got to listen to you. And so I think sometimes as parents, and I just want to challenge us as parents in here, because you know, and I see this just being in the ministry for as many years as I have and helping with students and that sort of thing, but I think sometimes we just assume things are okay. We have got to have conversations, y'all, with our kids and get honest. Get honest. And if they can't get honest with you, then they need to get honest with a safe somebody, a pastor, a leader, a good counselor in their life. Y'all with me today? All right? And so just trying to help, because we need to help our kids be successful as well. Transference, good and bad. And trust me, they will be thankful. And whether they know it or not, they need your leadership. They need your leadership. They need your involvement in the home. And I'm telling you what, man, I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for the things that they poured into my life and conversations. And I'm thankful. And even the good and the bad that they have learned from, you know what? They've taught me. You know what? And I thank God for that. And I thank God that I have great parents and great step-parents that I can learn from. And they're all in the same church and they like each other. Man, totally for real. And so, that's what's cool about God, everybody. That's what's cool about God. And so I'm just thankful. I'm just trying to love you and pastor you a little bit. All right. Hope that's okay. But I want us to see this morning and as it relates to relationships, because relationships are spiritual. Every connection that is intimate, it reproduces. And so I want to give you a checklist of just relationships and see where you're at in the journey, all right? And so number one is this. Am I nurturing important relationships? Ask yourself that. Get real honest today. Am I nurturing important relationships in my life? The enemy will always seek to take out the most important relationships in your life. You need people that are not impressed by you. You need people that can always be honest with you. And it should reciprocate. We should see that in relationships and not get mad, all right? But be thankful that the friend in my life loves me enough and loves Jesus enough to push me forward and to get honest with me when I got stuff that isn't dealt with. We all need that. I spoke last week, if you were here, about one of my pastors getting in my stuff several months ago. It was good. I didn't like it at first, but it was good. It was good for me. And so we all need that because we all ain't got this thing together. We need to be teachable. We need to be honoring in relationships. We need each other. Look at the person next to say, I need you. Give them a fist bump. Tell them I need you. Need you in the journey. And so here's the key. Many people today are going to make life, I'm talking about life-altering decisions today. There are people going to respond to Jesus for the very first time. All right? Some are going to recommit their lives to God today. And then some are going to make some relational decisions that are going to impact them for the long haul. But I got to tell you this, that when you leave here today, guess who's going to be waiting? The enemy's going to be waiting. And he's going to try to dilute this message by the time you get home today. He's going to be working on you, trying to get you to forget this tonight and trying to get you to forget it tomorrow when you wake up and working on you unless you nurture the most important relationship in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is praying, that is getting in the Word, that is getting more of God in you and less of you out, and asking and inviting more of God's presence to come in and to change you. Y'all still with me today, amen? And so you got to do that. If not, by the end of the week, you will have forgotten this message. I pray that doesn't happen. I pray that you take this and allow the Holy Spirit to help you live this out, because it's not good enough just to do it on Sunday, because you can't just do it on Sunday and expect the rest of the week to go well. It's a daily thing walking out. That's why I love the one-year Bible. Many of you guys are on it. It's awesome. And it's because it's a daily thing. You're making a daily decision. I'm going to spend some time getting the Word of God in me, all right? And let me just say this, even with your spouse, guess what? Pretty important relationship, wouldn't you say? Like, you can't just spend every other 5 years trying to nurture that relationship. That ain't going to work, right? Amen, everybody? And you've got to spend, you got to nurture that relationship. Fellas, God blessed you with lips. Use them. Use them bad boys on your wife, all right? Come on, sisters, just trying to help you, all right? Just trying to help you today. That's why in February, we're doing, it's actually on Valentine's Day, it's on a Sunday this year. I think that was the Lord, all right? But we're doing a new series starting that Sunday on I Want a New Marriage, talking about wanting God to do some brand new things inside your life. Get ready. One of those Sundays may be PG-13. All right, maybe a little spicy. I'm just telling you as parents, if you have kids that come in here, it might be a good time to help them understand we got an incredible kids ministry. All right, and so I will warn you, but I'm warning you now. All right, just making sure we understand that. Just trying to help some wives and husbands out. All right, let's move on. Galatians chapter 5 says, serve one another in love. Y'all are great. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Spend time with God. Nurture the most important relationship in your life, and that is Jesus. Amen. Y'all receiving this today, yes or no? All right, good. Number two is this. Am I severing harmful relationships? Listen, some of us have friends and coworkers that we need to distance ourselves from. Because if you get intimate, there is a transference, and there is a reproductive process that's going to take place, and it's going to be out of your control. And it's time to start making some decisions that I'm not going to look and act like the rest of the world is. Call me weird. We did a series on that a while back. And because normal is the way the world is going, and normal isn't working. So we're going to stand out for Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to identify and see where you're at in your life. I want to speak to our students that are present here today. I want to challenge you guys all over this place to hear me as your pastor and to hear my heart today and everybody else listening in with them. And I don't care, honestly, if this hurts some of your friends' feelings, because this is important, but you need to get away from the person or persons that is trying to get you to compromise about what you believe in God. And you need to tell them to move on. Ain't got time for it. Let me say this. I'm a daddy first. I've got a daughter. And I'm a pastor. And I'm going to say this to all the young ladies in the house. Listen, if you've got a man in your life that's trying to pressure you to do things that you know ain't right and that you know is wrong, it's time to kick that brother to the curb. You got my permission to text him right here in this service. Like, right now you can do that. Yeah, you need to buy into an old song MC Hammer used to have. Remember that? Dun-na-na-na, dun-na-dun-dun. Can't touch this. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. And if they still got a problem, you tell them to call the church office and we'll deal with them. Oh, it's good in here today, isn't it, everybody? Aren't you glad you came to church? Why? Because relationships are spiritual. Yeah. Relationships are spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Proverbs 13:20, this is a great verse. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And the Bible is so serious about staying away from people who are going to bring you, who are going to pull you back in the impact. You got to be careful. Scripture has a lot to say. Throw it up there, guys. Help me out. Scripture's saying, hey, you got to stay away from the lazy. And there's scriptures. Scripture says you got to stay away from the angry. There's the scriptures. Scripture says you got to stay away from the immoral. There's the scriptures. You got to stay away from the greedy. There's the scriptures. You got to stay away from the unbelieving. And there's scriptures. And why? Because relationships are spiritual. Proverbs 12:26 says, "A righteous man is cautious in friendships." And I want to teach this. I want us to understand this next verse, because I feel like I've heard this. I've been saved a long time, been in church all my life. And I've heard this verse like go 20,000 directions, and it shouldn't be. All right, it's only one direction. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it starts out, says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." I want to help us understand this as a church. This is so important, especially with what I just am talking about, because we are a church, and the vision of this church is to reach the unchurched and awaken the spiritually restless. And so what this verse is not saying to go and to not have relationships and reach the unbeliever and to reach those. No, that's not what Scripture's saying at all. What the Scripture is saying is make sure you don't cross the line, though, where they're impacting you. Scripture also says, "Be ye separate from the world." And that verse literally means draw boundaries in your life. You can have relationships and meet people. Guess what? That's how we're going to change the world, is relationships and with people. So don't, I just feel like it's mostly for any church folk in here. We need to see this right. We need to have a right view of what God is saying in here. And understanding as we're reaching people together as God's people, that we're reaching them with the heart of Christ and understanding, that's what that means. All right? Amen, everybody? So for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? or what fellowship can light have with darkness. This is huge. Nurture important relationships, sever harmful ones in your life. And then number three, the last one, asking the question, am I initiating meaningful relationships? And don't shut down on me. I know some of y'all, you'll want to put that in your notes real quick, so just hang on before you do any of that. Here's the thing, small groups, that's why we do them in our church. It's not just something we have, it's something we believe in. Small groups for us are spiritual. And we're having our rally day. Actually, tonight is our small group leader orientation. You'll hear from our small group directors in just a few minutes. But I want you to know on Sunday, February 7th, which happens to be football Sunday, and I'm just encouraging you, don't miss that Sunday, by the way. We're going to have a lot of fun in church. It's going to be an amazing day. And we're partnering with, a few thousand churches, all of us across the country. It's going to be a powerful day. So don't miss it. Invite people here. And we've got tools that we're going to hand out to you next week to invite people, all right? And so, but I want to say as we move along in this, that on that day we are also merging our rally day for small groups together. And I want to challenge you to commit to a group. Commit to a group. And we give you full permission to go shop different groups because the way our small groups are structured, it's free market. We encourage people to lead a small group with whatever area that they're passionate about. We have some that'll do sports, some that'll do crafts, some that'll do Bible-type studies. I mean, there's all different kinds that'll be available, but on that Sunday, you sign up for one or sign up for a few and just shop them. It's totally cool, totally non-threatening. We're not going to tell you where to go. We just want to encourage you to do it because we know life is better together. Like, I want to be surrounded in groups. It's always better to be in a group than it is to be by yourself. That's why some of those stupid horror movies, just like, I don't understand it. You ever notice that there's always young college kids too? It's like Susie, don't go upstairs, and Susie does. And what happens? Oops, she's gone. You know what I'm saying? It's safer in groups. Stay in a group. I don't leave the group. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so that's what I'm encouraging you to find a group. And listen to me, it's always, when you step into a group you don't know anybody, it's always awkward for our first few weeks. It just is. But here's what we found by week 4 or 5, that you have found that one friend, man, that you connect with. And the goal for us at the end of every semester of our small groups, like we have all these different ministries happening in our small groups, but our greatest goal for you is that you leave with a friend. It's that you connect with someone and leave with a friend that you can be honest with, that you can talk about your issues with, and guess what? Not going to get any kind of judgment because I'm telling you who this church is. Listen, this is a judgment-free zone here, and we ain't going to throw stones at nobody. This is a stones-free environment. Just want everybody to be clear on that. And so as we reach people and welcome them through our doors, that they're going to feel the love of God and feel safe. Amen, everybody? Proverbs 18 says, many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. John 15:15, Jesus said, this is a great verse. It says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Relationships are spiritual. And 2016 can be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. But the choice is up to you. And I want to encourage you to give God everything. Would you bow your head right where you're at? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much this morning for who you are. I thank you for stirring this message alive in us, that we see and know that relationships are spiritual, that relationships play a huge part in this journey, and that none of us are made to do life alone, but do life together with people. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and all eyes closed, and you recognize, man, I need that relationship with Jesus. I need to nurture that. I need to step into now that relationship with Jesus. Maybe for the very first time. Maybe that you're totally new at discovering who God is. It's all good. That's why you're here today. God knew you were going to be here today. He loves you. He's for you. Maybe you're here today and you had a relationship with God at one point, and for whatever reason, it just seems like you've just gotten off the path and feel like you've just drifted from God. But today God is urging you to come back to Him. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He's for you today. And if you're here today and you say, man, you know what, Kyle, that's me. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And then all of us as a church, we're going to pray together. But I want you to be real honest. Nobody's looking around. Say, man, that's me. On the count of three, all over this place. One, two, three. Hold them real high. Come on, Jesus was unashamed when he went to that cross for you. There it is, hands all over. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you. Who else? Come on, real high. There we go, there we go. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. I'm proud of you guys. Come on, we're going to pray together as a church. Elevate, I want you to pray with us here and just say something like this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you everything. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for wiping the slate of my past clean. Jesus, thank you for loving me the way that you do. Thank you for never giving up on me. Give my life, everything to you, God. I submit myself to you today. My future belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you really believe that and receive that, come on, let's pray. Come on, a lot of people made decisions today. Come on, we bless you, God.